Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. We're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Game Source, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and of course, the Lakers Fast Break. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do whatever you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, go ahead and subscribe below Laker Tom today. Right there. You can. Right there below. Hit that subscribe button today at the Lakers Fast Break on YouTube. Like our page on Facebook or follow us on the Twitter at Lakers Fast Break. Plus also as well, Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture. We'll be talking Star Wars Andor this weekend, so check that out. Plus also as well, Inside Sports Fantasy Football. We've already got week 3 covered for you in the NFL, so go ahead and check that out indeed if you're a fantasy football fan. Game Source, of course, the great folks at Lakerholics.com. Please go ahead and check out the work today by the number one Lakers blogger that's out there in Laker Tom. Go ahead and check him out today at Lakerholics.com and watch the conversations fly as he and Jamie Sweet from Five Things go at it each and every day at Lakerholics.com. Well, they're actually good friends in real life, but they just try to go ahead and keep up that great conversation back and forth at Lakerholics.com. Plus also as well, Ox1947, you know him as Joe Sorrow, but he's always lurking around LakersBall.com. So go ahead and check out their awesome groups today at LakersBall.com. Plus our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network at HoopheadsPod.com. And if you could support all of that, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, I wanted to let everybody know, if you didn't hear already, and Laker Tom, I already sent him word that the LeBron minicamp is here. It started today, and they are now just going ahead and going at it. LeBron is probably running.
Is Russ there?
That I don't know yet. That I was trying to look and see, but no hint on if Russ was there.
That's kind of an important detail, don't you think?
Yes, but the LeBron minicamp, minus his hair.
Oh, he really is bald, huh?
Well, I'm not so sure. People are saying it's fake. People are saying it's not fake. Maybe.
Live Photoshop. Maybe The latest technique, live Photoshop.
Live Photoshopping, indeed. Well, we'll see by the time that they go to Media Day if it is actually been Photoshopped or not. But it is LeBron minicamp. It's now underway. Media Day is Monday, and training camp starts next Tuesday. So the Lakers are going ahead and looking forward to that. But are there any changes in store? Because we have had a target of ours, unfortunately, trade away to Detroit earlier today in Bojan Bogdanović. Does that mean that there's nothing left for the Lakers to trade for? We'll talk about the possible talks with Indiana still underway. Depends on who you talk to. I hear one by one person, Miles Turner is no longer available. I hear by the other that Indiana and Lakers are still working, trying to work out a deal. So we'll talk about that coming up in a bit. Plus also as well, we will have the talk on Legacy on Hulu right there for you as far as the show covering the real story of the LA Lakers episode 7. So we will talk about that as well. And also George Mikan finally getting his jersey retired on October 30th. We're definitely going to be talking about that, plus the latest NBA news as well. But first, I know the topic that Mr. Laker Tom wants to get to. Good man indeed. He is the man you got to follow today at Lakerholics.com. It is Mr. Laker Tom. And Laker Tom, great to have you back, my friend. I'm hoping Joe will join us. Not sure about Jamie. I think Jamie's running his club, night out tonight, I think, for the club that he works with as far as for the music end of his life. So we'll go ahead and make sure he gets on the next one with us. But right now, the questions are abound. Is there anything that the Lakers are still going to do heading into training camp next week?
I still think there's a big chance that they'll do something. You know, and it's kind of odd. They put out contradictory feelings. I think you can say that the Jazz are done as a deal because I don't think that without Bogdanovich, I don't think that they have pieces that the Lakers are interested in. I think it's heartening that hopefully there's still an opportunity for a trade with Pacers. I think that's still the move to be made. I'm hoping that they maybe can talk the Pacers into accepting a trade swap instead of the second pick. For the Pacers, that's just as good as getting an unprotected pick, because trade swaps, by the very nature of the swap, is an unprotected pick. So I think there's a chance there, and I think there's also a chance that the Lakers could make a trade with the Spurs that would basically take Russell's $47 million expiring contract and switch it into two expiring contracts that could help the Lakers be a better team and fill a couple of the holes they have, namely defense and shooting, and get a $25 million traded player exception that they could use at the trade deadline or earlier to really improve the team.
Well, let me ask you this. Well, Nick Wong is asking this. Nick Wong is asking, do you think you would give up any picks worth? I certainly would. I think what you're getting back.
I think that's worth giving up. The Lakers are willing to give up a pick. What they do not want to do is they've gone through the last two seasons at the trade deadline and not done anything. And one of the reasons they haven't done anything is all of the deals that they wanted to make involved a pick that they didn't have. And so they would like to go into the season with one pick so that when next summer comes, if they don't use it, they'll have two picks. That's the whole point that is breaking things down. What the Lakers still have to decide, though, is do we want cap space next summer, or do we want to have trading chips next summer? Because you can't have both, because you have to decide that at some point the Lakers are going to take Russell's contract and they're going to try to convert it into something. They're going to, if they want cap space, they'll convert it into expiring contracts. They'll take a trade that'll give them expiring contracts just like that, and they'll have their $35 million in cap space and LeBron and AD, and that's it. And they'll sign a third star and go through the same route as we've done for the last 3 years of rebuilding the entire roster, because they believe that third star is Kyrie Irving. Whether he'll sign for $35 million with promises from LeBron and AD to balance it out down the road, who knows? I think that's definitely an option. The other option, I think, is still the Turner situation, and the Lakers want this trade. They don't want to give up two picks. The Pacers have set the pace saying, we're willing to go into the season. Turner's our starter, so let's go into the season. We'll see how things go. A lot of this comes down to what happens with Russell Westbrook when he shows up into camp, and how demanding initially is Coach Darvin Ham. Is he going to really require him to play defense, and we're going to see that, or is it going to turn really ugly? I mean, they had one sort of semi-practice where Russ was there and Ham was there, and apparently it didn't go well, according to whoever reported it, which obviously probably wanted to make it look like it wasn't going to work out. But at any rate, you've got a volatile situation there that I could easily see that there wasn't a trade before training camp, but by the time we got to the start of the regular season, there's a trade. You know, it could easily happen that much. So you just don't know what's going to happen. There's always a risk on everybody's side. The Pacers, they think they have a deal made. They think they can get that second pick. what happens if Turner goes out and injures himself, you know, in the first few games or something like that. All of a sudden, then they've blown a huge opportunity to improve, to get the kind of draft capital that they want. So I think there's still opportunities for the Lakers. There's still that lingering fear because of the bad decisions that they've made in the past that somehow they'll blow it again. I mean, I wouldn't put that past them, but I still think that we've got time. And I still think that as long as a trade, the worst thing is going to be if they see some sort of signs that Westbrook is somewhat accommodating and they buy into that and they waste part of the season and we end up losing a lot of games because the first half of the season is going to be really tough. And by that time, you know, the whole season has got a bad taste in its mouth. And I don't like the idea, and I don't think the Lakers' intent at all. You don't sign LeBron to an extension. You don't make the moves that they've made with the roster to then not make a trade over just a second first-round pick. Let me ask you this.
Okay, let's say, like, Wes Trueblood says it's a fair swap if the Lakers give up the two first-round picks to Indiana for Hield and Turner. And let's say we do that. And the Lakers finish in sixth or seventh place and are an easy bounce out in the playoffs. What happens then? You've already just...
Well, I think what happens then probably is you'd have to look to why would they have an easy bounce out in the playoffs. And the only reason would have to be that LeBron and AD weren't healthy. Everything that the Lakers do is predicated upon the principle that if LeBron James and Anthony Davis are healthy, this is a championship caliber team. Just surround them with good pieces and you have a championship caliber team. So I think the answer to your question really depends upon what the reasons were for them doing poorly. If the reasons for them doing poorly was that Davis and or James were not available as it was the last couple of years, then you really have to think about maybe it is the time probably is to rebuild, and maybe we should have rebuilt this year.
Well, what's worse is, and that was pointed out to us earlier today.
Yeah,
On the other hand, the Lakers. Well, let me just say this: mm-hmm. BDA Pink made a great thing that he had a great comment that we slipped our mind because I mentioned it a couple weeks back as far as what the Lakers' actual picks were. They don't even actually have control of next year's pick. They have the Pelicans have the swap rights on it, so they can't even tank right now. That's a problem.
Well, there's always problems. There's always pluses and there's always minuses. And, you know, I mean, hey, I'd love to have a front office that was sharp and on the ball and you really had a lot of trust in and it never seemed to make a mistake, especially on player analysis and calls that, you know, who they're going to trade for and who they're going to draft. So forth, but we don't happen to have that. We happen to have a sort of a family-run business that has some hits and misses, and we have a lot of advantages to our favor, which has won us a lot of championships. I do think that the Lakers have played this well all season long. I think that they're within a second first-round pick, and I think that's pretty clear that they're within a second first-round pick of having the Turner and Hield deal that they want. If they give up that pick, they can get the deal, I think. Would you agree with that? Do you think that's where they are too?
I just think right now they're between a rock and a hard place. I really think that this team is between a rock and a hard place. Any deal that they make is not going to move them up far enough that was going to get them into a world title.
Yeah, but you have to make progress and you have to first off, if you accept the premise that Russell Westbrook is addition by subtraction, trading him is addition by subtraction. And you can trade him for three guys, let's say, with expiring contracts. So
that
just
and I agree that actually, like you said, because you could go ahead and swap them again at the trading deadline, you know, or yeah. Just let it run out.
You're probably better off to do that rather than to risk screwing the whole season up because of rust and having to do this and that. At least I think that's where the Lakers are. I think they're idiots. I don't think that they're crazy idiots. You know, there's a limit to how far out and how bad a decision they can make. I You can imagine what Twitter is like, and I can imagine what LeBron's going to feel like if he finds out that it was the 2029 first round draft pick, which is, this is what, 22? That's 7 years away. So an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old would be 12 years old. So we're talking about the 12-year-old kid right now. 7 years from now will be drafted by the Lakers. And that's preventing the Lakers from getting Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. That's crazy.
I'm just saying, again, as I've always said,
you know what that is? That's trying to win the negotiation rather than trying to win the deal. There's a difference there.
Well, I'm just trying to say that Hield and Turner don't move the needle enough with them on the team that will get them past the Nuggets, the Warriors.
You know, I think that from the inside information we've gotten from Jovan Buha, that they do believe that those guys move the needle enough so that they're a contender. But the problem is that everything is gearing all of a sudden toward the idea that why don't we just have a whole bunch of free agency and get Kyrie? And that's what this is all about. This is all about a deep and talented roster and depth, you know, versus a third superstar. The Lakers cannot, even though part of any third superstar failure problem is the fault of having to share the ball between three guys who generally have the ball half of the time that they're in the game. You just don't have enough touches for three guys to have the same kind of touches. Somebody has to sacrifice. And I don't want that to be LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Well, Nick has a good point, and he said it as far as how confident are we in Turner's availability. Right, he has not proven to be a consistent, healthy individual. But then
Who hasn't?
Miles Turner.
Yeah, well, he's probably been as consistent as Anthony Davis.
But you're right, Tom.
Kawhi Leonard.
I want to say you are correct in saying that any of the trades that have been offered are not going to bring us back a player that's going to check off all the boxes for us. And, we are getting picky, but I'm just saying right now that no trade that the Lakers have in the offering, you know, the Kyrie Irving trade was the only one I would give up just simply because I think that's the only one of the scenarios that would have put Lakers in a for sure contender plan. Everything has to go right in order. If you get Hield and Turner still, so much has to go
but
right.
That still gives you a chance. That still gives you a chance. And if you're the governor of the Los Angeles Lakers, tied for the most NBA championships of any franchise, who's promised never to tank, you just do not let a 7 year away first round draft pick prevent you from making a trade that totally revolutionizes your team and gives you a shot. Gives you exactly what LeBron James wanted. I can't imagine, frankly, Rob Pelinka sitting down and picking up the phone and calling LeBron and saying, geez, LeBron, you know, we have the deal there. We just said just one pick, and they wouldn't go for it, so I told them to shove it. You know, that's not going to be a good conversation with LeBron.
Blue Magic says, part of me feels that the Lakers are waiting to see if Davis can recapture his magic. If Davis cannot be 2020 Davis, then the Lakers might move him and the two picks for another superstar. I just heard on
it's going to take months for somebody to make that kind of determination. You don't make that in a short-term situation.
Well, it's not going to be done in a short term. I said with
it's
Joe,
a
I said,
he gets a season. To
I
show
think
that
he does
can
get
do
a
it.
Season. I think
by the end of the season, he has to prove it.
But what's interesting is that he's already fallen hard in the eyes of a lot of analysts out there. In fact, I heard on a podcast today that when they were talking about the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, LeBron is still LeBron. But when it came to Anthony Davis, he couldn't even say the word good. He stopped himself saying the word good. He said, okay. He said, okay. I never thought I would hear the day that Anthony Davis was just okay, but it seems that we've fallen so far.
Yeah, if you judge him on the last two seasons, that's basically what he is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's more than the last two seasons.
Well, I'm hoping so. Yeah. But yes, I believe giving him a full season as well. I think both you and then Joe have been very strong on
the thing is that you need to have you see if Lakers want to go this free agency route, that means that they don't want anybody They won't take back any contracts. They won't, you know, they want nothing but expiring deals. So they have maximum amount of cap space for Kyrie, even though the amount of cap space that they can possibly have is still probably like $15 million less than what Kyrie probably wants. So if you go that route, what happens is that you get into the middle of the year and you're going to be forced to, trade Russell Westbrook because you can't have him, his contract expire because you don't have anybody else on the team that has a contract except for LeBron and AD. So you're going to be sitting there with three draft picks because you haven't traded any of the draft picks. You'll have three draft picks and you won't be able to consummate a trade because you won't have anybody to match salaries with anybody who's making more than like $15 million. The Lakers have to, I mean, the problem is that you cannot allow Russell Westbrook's contract to expire because you have no way to trade. You have nobody left to trade then because it comes a free agent. The only thing you can do is sign and trade at that point, which would hard cap you.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
Bring me all of the Star Trek all of the time, and I will be an incredibly happy girl. Even if it's terrible. It's like pizza. Bad pizza is still pretty good because it's pizza. Bad Star Trek is still pretty good because it's still Star Trek. That's the way that I look at it.
Just let it sit in the refrigerator for a day and be cool.
That's it. Yep.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Needing an edge for your fantasy football team? Listen to the guys at Inside Sports Fantasy Football for insight that will help you reach your league championship. That's Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Check it out today on your favorite podcast outlet. Well, I tell you what, it's still so much debate in regards to this as we get closer and closer to training camp. With the Laker Tom getting
Lakers,
more nervous.
The Lakers just can't have their cake and eat it too, Gerald. You can't. You cannot plan for a great next summer, a mega next summer where you're going to find the superstar to replace, you know, hopefully LeBron eventually and the third superstar. They're allowing that to undermine taking what really is a sure winner in the Pacers trade that'll solve a lot of their problems and will make LeBron and AD's life a lot easier.
Well,
which alone should be worth the effort of doing that. Aside from
again, I just don't think it. I disagree. I just don't think it moves the needle that far up, especially with Turner's history and his injury history and not staying healthy. I think also as well, again, that still doesn't give you a deep team at all. The team has zero depth, which is really
You probably have just as much. You probably have more versatility with Hield and Turner's contracts. At the trade deadline than you will with Russell's contract, because Russell's contract still is going to be difficult for people to match because you got to come up with like $35-40 million just to even be able to match contracts with them. So you got to have a couple of pretty big play players that you want to dump on the Lakers. And you think the Lakers are going to take back contracts? They don't want to take back contracts. Their only hope if to trading Russell is really going to be Indiana, you know, will Indiana budge off and take one pick after 10 games into the season? That's what this is all about.
I agree with Blue Magic.
Be in the market for it.
I agree with Blue Magic that the Laker tax is real because of how much Detroit Pistons.
Is that a self-imposed, though, Blue Magic? Or is that a tax that other teams have put on the Lakers?
Well, look at the trade for Boyan. Look at the trade for Boyan today. The Utah Jazz.
What does that tell you? What does that tell you, though? It tells you that the Lakers were smart not to give up what Utah wanted. They wanted three. Danny Ainge is mouthing off saying, I want three first-round picks for the three guys. They can't even get a first-round pick for the best guy.
I did tell Paul that, you know, I think that if he plays well with Detroit, I think he probably will be turned at the trade deadline for a first-rounder. I really think that Boyan has still some game left in him. It's just a shame that it won't be on the Lakers. Petting My Cat says he likes the team in the playoffs. Laker Tom is living up north as a Lakers fan with a New York hat. Laker Tom is living up north as a Lakers fan with a New York hat on. He loves the Yankees. He already told you that, Petting My Cat. I know you've been watching the show. I know you've heard Laker Tom. You know Joe Soro right now?
It's Yankee Tom today, Gerald. I told you that.
Yankee Tom today. I'm sorry.
Honor of number 99.
Yes. Aaron Judge. Yes. Who is not on steroids and is close to breaking the all-time home record. You know, I guess it's
held by Roger Maris, the true legal, legitimate major league home run record.
All right, so let's say the ball was juiced and there were steroids around. I mean, would McGuire? Let's say they weren't around. Would McGuire and Sosa still have broken the record? Maybe.
No.
Barry Bonds? No. Maybe.
No.
I don't know. That ball was heavily juiced. I want to say that. That's all. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, juiced players and juiced ball.
'90s was full of juice. Like,
you know, what a combination.
Yes, the '90s was full of juice indeed. But let's get to the other NBA news before we talk about the other things that are going on in the NBA, including Legacy Episode 7. I still have thoughts on that. Blue Magic says, let's look on the bright side. Ime Udoka might join the Lakers staff as an assistant for a year. You never know if he decides to leave. There's supposedly, as of now, we have not heard a confirmation of this, that it's looking stronger and stronger because of a situation involving a personal relationship, an intimate relationship with a Celtics employee, that he is going to be suspended, or most likely is going to be suspended. That's the rumor, that he's most likely going to be suspended for a year. He may even leave the organization. That's still up for debate. If that's the case, Ime Udoka, he's going to be the hot property out there as far as his individual coach if he decides to lead the Celtics.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those situations where a lot of people think it's overblown, and yet I don't think that is the case. I think that I think what's happening is baseball is finally catching up with the rest of the business world. In understanding that when there's a personal relationship between a superior and a subordinate of that superior, that there's a lot of problems that can have that there are people who take advantage of that situation, and it's an uncomfortable situation. And that's why companies very often have smart rules that say these types of relationships are prohibited. You almost have to feel that there's something else going on here, because it is an odd situation, you know. My first thought was actually, geez, I'm glad that's not somebody on the Lakers. You know, if it had to happen to somebody, some franchise, let it happen to the Celtics. I'm perfectly okay with that under any circumstances. I don't even have to put my Laker Tom hat on to say that. I enjoy the Celtics' bad fortune immensely.
Helps us out. That's,
you know, Udoka did a great job with that team.
He did.
Although, you know, it's funny that you could watch that team, and before Marcus Smart went off and created that furor over sharing the ball, you know, about a third of the way into the season, and that team instantly changed into a better team.
Well, I will say this: Will Hardy, who was a top assistant for the team, he moved to Utah. So. Yep. Will Brad Stevens have to come back down out of the GM's lair?
I don't think so. You know, I don't think he wants to. You know, I think that Brad Stevens, there was a, it's kind of funny because I thought that was a surprise. And it really is for a coach to move up into the general manager's position, because that's usually not the way it, I mean, although there are, it's like Pat Riley, obviously, is a great basketball executive who was a head coach. And, you know, Phil Jackson, well, that didn't work out so well. You know, so it's, I don't, there's not necessarily a high correlation between that. Now, some of it is judging players, you know, and coaches have systems, so they generally tend to be a little more biased against and for certain types of players. But I don't see any reason why. I thought that was strange. I think that there had to be some reason why he did not want to coach anymore and preferred to move upstairs. Now, maybe that's because he could be in charge and in control of the situation, which could be a criticism of Danny Ainge and the former regime, you know, that they did not give the coach the right kinds of players to win. Obviously, coming out of college and just being a coach for one team, the Boston Celtics, you know, where he was really given a long contract and a long leash to develop his own type of style and kind of team that he was going to put together for the Celtics. So he obviously had ambitions greater than just being the coach. He wanted to be in charge of the franchise. And it's kind of interesting. Ainge's strength probably is drafting people. I guess that's what everybody says. It sure isn't consummating trades. You know, it's and acquiring draft picks. It's basically learning to say no, 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 until you get a deal that is so good that even an idiot would say yes, and then you say yes.
I don't know. I think your standards for what Danny Ainge and all.
I'm never going to be fair with Danny Ainge, man.
Yeah, well, you know,
don't expect that.
Careful, he might bite you. I will say that he has a better track record than Rob Pelinka. Come on.
Well, come on now. What kind of standard is that? You know,
that's like Gerald. That's a low blow there, Gerald.
That's like saying, you know, he's taller than Mickey Mouse, or you know.
It's like something we can all agree.
But he's got long arms, you know.
It's just funny because that's something all of us as Laker fans can agree.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny that I just enjoy bad things happening to the Celtics. You know,
I don't want anybody
to get hurt or die.
But just as far as something
the bad things happening to the Celtics is perfectly okay.
Yeah, you don't want anything health wise, but this is something that, you know what, they scandal. That's fine. Go ahead, you know, if it disrupts their organization to the point where they cannot win another championship anytime soon, that's all good by us.
They don't even have, it's kind of funny, they got rid of all of the guys that you hate. They're kind of a likable bunch of guys, the Celtics, you know, if they didn't wear those damn green uniforms with the stupid shamrocks on them, they're not bad, you know. I mean, I'd love to have Marcus Smart in purple and gold, you know.
Well, yeah, if you look at it as just players, we've talked about this. Joe is also
Marcus Smart and
nobody should ever take away their talent on that
team. And Jaylen Brown for Anthony Davis, I'd probably make that trade in a minute.
They did a great job. You can't take away anything from them. They did a great job getting the finals. They had a tremendous defense, and unfortunately, due to various things, they didn't get the job done all the way. But you know what? It just, like I said, the goal is for the Lakers to beat them to 18.
They're last year's version of the Miami Heat from the bubble.
Another team that's we want to go ahead and just mention it real quickly is the Phoenix Suns, and Robert Sarver announcing that he very begrudgingly, almost like he's scratching and crawling to do so, he's actually decided to go ahead and give up his control of his ownership. He's going to sell off his portions of the team in both the Mercury and the Phoenix Suns. Right. I say, thank
just
goodness.
Make a few billion.
Yeah. He's going to, well, he only owns about 35%. He is going to make probably a billion.
He bought it for 400 million.
Yeah.
They'll sell it for 3 billion.
Well, no, that's it, the whole team, but his cut.
Yeah,
So
3 billion minus 400,000 is 2.6 billion. A third of that is probably 8.3 billion.
It's a lot of money. He's 80, going to get paid.
I'm sorry. It's going to be. Yeah, he'll make around $830 million, almost $1 billion.
Yeah, he'll make a lot of money. Okay, yeah. He won't be hunting for a sandwich as far as being able to pay for it anytime soon. But I will say
that it's interesting how. It's interesting how that wouldn't have happened. I mean, look at how long it took for Sterling to get knocked out. And Sterling's situation was much worse than the situation that we have with Sarber. But the problem is that Sarber came after the Me Too movement and the whole woke movement and so forth. And so you weren't going to find here. You have a difference. The players speaking up, the sponsors speaking up. Silver, other than butchering the press conference where he announced the thing, did the right thing by not forcing Sarver out, but instead counseling him and telling him that, listen, this is just going to get worse. You know, sell, get out gracefully, you know, be a good sport about the whole thing. You know, that's the best way to redeem your image and your brand. And you don't need it. And on top of that, you're going to make, you know, 35% of $2.6 billion, man. Not a bad deal after all, you know, I mean. And we won't even do anything petty like prevent you from getting a seat. At, you know, we'll give you a seat on half court. You know.
Well, again,
just sell a team, man.
Again, also the public pressure, LeBron. Right. Also, as far as you know,
PayPal.
Yeah, I mean, just a lot of influential people, influential players in the NBA. The league president, as far as the players union is concerned, she actually said a lot as far as, you know, him needing to be gone, and he needs to be gone, and he is going to get paid. He is going to get a golden parachute. That's not a good situation as far as for anybody that wants to see him befalling even more bad luck. He's going to get paid on the way out. So don't shed a tear for him. I don't think anybody is going to, but I'm just glad that the situation is going to come to a head with someone, hopefully, that will be a better owner for that organization, or better governor. I'm sorry, better governor for that organization.
Well, it is not just like owning a regular company. This is a professional sports league that actually has an antitrust exemption, so that they can do things that are un-American with respect to their players, you know. Things like, you know, having to be drafted by a team and play for that team, period. You know, stuff like that. So, you know, these guys have a greater obligation than just, it's not just their company. They have a fan base that is just as much a stakeholder in that particular situation as the entire league is on how behavior is in a particular franchise. So, you know, it was good. The league did the right things. Silver did the right things behind the scene.
I'm just gonna say, in front of the scenes, he has not looked any worse than he did this past weekend.
He botched the announcement of it. That was how he did that was poor, but he made up for it behind the scenes, because obviously everything that I've heard is that he was a big part of pushing and convincing Robert to sell the team.
Draymond Green's podcast, as Jamie Sweet pointed out in the comments, that, yeah, absolutely was very influential, I'm sure, in the decision that was made because of his opinions on it and comments. From the players around the league, there was going to be a lot of murmur. It just was a situation. Well, it was just going to get worse.
You got Chris Paul, your own point guard, basically speaking out against him.
Jamie Sweet says.
How could he, what, he's going to stay away a year and then come back and everything will be rosy-dosy?
Jamie Sweet says he missed the first half hour, but have we finally closed the book on flaying the dead horse that has been the Russell Westbrook trade news?
No.
Of course not. It could happen all the way up.
You know, it could happen probably not before training camp, but depending on how Russ goes in training camp, it could happen before the first game of the season very easily.
As Blue Magic says, Jamie Sweet, Tom is always still holding out hope. Yes, he is indeed. But once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. It is Laker Tom, the number one Lakers blogger that's out there. Please go ahead and catch him today at Lakerholics.com. Plus also as well, Jamie Sweet, when he's not chatting in the chat room, And he's not on the episodes here. He's also at LakerHolics.com at Five Things. Joe Sorrell, hopefully be back on the next episode as well. Give him a big shout out as Ox1947 on LakersBall.com. And of course, you can always get a hold of us at LakersFastBreak and LakersFastBreak@Yahoo.com. Big shout out to our Facebook commenters, especially the one who gave us the great, great words of encouragement. And thanks so much for the kind words. He wants to hear an hour and a half or more of Laker Tom and Joe Sorrell. What about that, man?
Joe is such a brief, quiet guy that you can't get him to talk about anything.
As are you, my friend. Both so shy, both so introverted. Yes, indeed. But before we head on out, my friend, I do want to go ahead and touch on Legacy Episode 7 and also a retiring jersey that we do need to talk about. I want to go ahead and talk about Legacy real quick. Episode 7 did cover the end of the trilogy of the early 2000s. They glossed over it real quick, which I was very disappointed in. I thought they should spend more time on the three-peat. They really didn't. In Episode 6 with the first year and Episode 7 with the next 2 years, they really didn't cover as much as I would like in detail. They wanted to cover more outside the scenes, the relationship between Jeannie and Phil Jackson. They wanted to cover the relationship that was deteriorating between Kobe and Shaq. Obviously, the court case in Colorado was covered and the situations that it caused there. The disgruntlement between the individuals, Shaq and Kobe, in regards to one had to be traded or another, and it ultimately led to Shaq getting traded. Obviously, that was going to be a big part of the episode, but I would have just loved to seen a little bit more focus on the good in regards to just one of the best times as a Laker fans. We covered it, actually, in the past couple weeks. We talked about it as one of the greatest periods of time for Lakers fans ever is that three-peat. Let me know, Tom, your thoughts. I know you haven't seen the episode as of yet, but when you embarked at that time, that was just a happy period of time for three seasons as a Lakers fan.
Yeah, it was so great to see Kobe be able to come back and win without Shaq. You know, I really enjoyed that. And as I said earlier, that when you try to separate off the four great championship periods that I've gone through as a Lakers fan, that was the one where my son and I were playing a lot of basketball together. And so that was really special watching those games with him and so forth, watching Kobe's development as a superstar and such. So those periods were very taxing and trying as a Laker fan. I mean, I can remember the discussions. I think at that point in time, back then, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that LakerHolics.com did not exist. And I think that most of us were still blogging on the LA Times Lakers blog. And the whole thing just blew up in just total turmoil. The whole subject of rape and Kobe involved and so forth, it just brought out the worst in certain people. And I've never ever since then seen things deteriorate, even in the worst moments on Twitter that I've been witness to. I've never seen things disintegrate like they did during that period of time. That was a very touchy situation.
Yeah, absolutely a very touchy situation. And I guess that episode does cover it. And they do a good job of covering all the negative stuff that was happening behind the scenes. And obviously a lot of Lakers fans and even documentary fans, docuseries fans, want to see that part of it. But I would have just loved to have seen, and that's something that maybe I'll hold as a slight criticism over this series, is that the good times are not exactly emphasized enough on these episodes. The focus is the growing battle behind the scenes in regards to the buses, which I know, again, obviously gets the general audience.
How many episodes are there in this thing?
I believe we're eight or nine. I forget off the top of my head. Yeah, because
we're in the mid 2000s. Inclination to watch them all at one week at a time.
We're in the mid 2000s, so coming up very soon is going to be the Kobe championships in 2010. That's probably going to be in the next episode. Then after that, there's going to be obviously the battle for custody of the Lakers after Dr. Jerry Buss's death, and then ultimately leading to the 2020 bubble championship for the Lakers. That's going to be the end of the series. That was already hinted to me in my conversations with Stephen Leckard, which you can actually still catch right here on the channel. So it is good so far. Very good watching. Again, I'd love to see the good a little bit emphasized a little bit more, you know, but outside of that, obviously it goes into detail, especially the third, fourth, and fifth episodes really cover some things I think that Lakers fans might have not known. So please go ahead and check that out, especially. But it is available right now on Hulu. It is Legacy, the true story of the LA Lakers. Looking, Jamie Sweet. bringing out the REM references there. He's in the chat, though. That's good. But I will say, before we head on out, I want to go ahead and mention as well that George Mikan has been announced. Just a truly great player, one in the early days of the Minneapolis Lakers, obviously a Hall of Famer as well. He is finally getting his jersey retired posthumously right there at Crypto.com Arena on October 30th. Your thoughts on George Mikan, Laker Tom? I think that's something that is just well beyond deserved. I think it's long overdue, and I think it's something that the Lakers as an organization not only are doing good by retiring Powell's jersey later this year, but also retiring George Mikan as well.
Remind me, Gerald, what is the deal? Is it that we only have banners up for the Lakers championships, or that is there a shared banner up for like four of the Minneapolis Lakers?
There's some
discrepancy between how the championships or the hung jerseys between the franchises, between the two cities, are handled.
I think off the top of my head, it's just the LA Lakers championships
jerseys that have been retired.
And
they've never retired a Minneapolis jersey up until now?
I don't think so. So, and that would really been the only one that they should have done, definitely, was George Mikan.
Right, right. For some reason, I'll have to look that up, but I somehow remember seeing like they had one jersey for a bunch of different one hanging banner for a bunch of different guys.
Now I could be wrong, so please correct me in the chat if I'm wrong that they have the Minneapolis championship.
But anyway, well deserved, man. I mean, he was a player ahead of his time. You know, now they look back at him and he was behind his time behind today's time, obviously. And behind even the modern era, you know, of the 80s and 90s and 70s.
But Jamie Sweet says he thinks there's a shared banner, not separate.
Yeah, there's some sort of shared banner up there. I always thought.
Well, I don't count that. They should put separate banners for all the championships.
Well, we need the five. We need the championships from Minneapolis in order to tie the Celtics, man.
Yeah, so put them all up. Put them all up.
I think we should.
Yeah. Don't put this like shared thing.
Well, we actually have 18 because the year before the league came in, Minneapolis also won. And they decided when they formed the league to start the league officially, they were running under the same name for 2 years in a row. They decided to start it in the second year rather than the first year. Otherwise, the Lakers would have already won number 18.
Well, there's still a lot of talk that the Lakers hopefully will pull off number 18 in the not too distant future. We'll be breaking down.
They better
down
make a trade then in the next few days.
Well, okay. And that's what we'll leave. That's what we'll leave you on before we head on out. We'll have a little bit more conversation on that because I know that running long, if you have, again, a lot of people watching, staying with us, chatting in the chat room, you guys have been tremendous. There are people that are requesting us to go an hour and a half plus. I'm not sure we're going to go do that tonight. We'll do that after the trade. We'll go long after the trade if that happens. Definitely for Laker Tom. For Laker Tom, it'll just be him grinning for an hour and a half. How about that? How about that for you? But before we head it out, my friend, again, LeBron minicamp is now underway. And before we get to the media day and all the questions there, and obviously what's going on in training camp going forward, you're still holding out for it. The best option for the Lakers at this time is the Indiana option, if it's still available. Although, again, various sources says Miles Turner is now off the table. Then you hear others saying that they're just the stuff that's going on and people are saying nobody really has a clue what's going on. At this point, Are you?
I think it's really pretty simple. Indy wants two picks. The Lakers only want to give up one.
So do you think the Lakers may go another route, San Antonio you talked about, or maybe another option?
I just did a proposed trade that I think makes good sense, which is they trade for Joseph Poeltl and Josh Richardson, both of whom have expiring contracts.
Jacob Poeltl.
And is that how you pronounce it, Poeltl?
I think it's Poeltl. I'll go up and look it up. But yeah, I know we all.
So Jacob Poeltl and Josh Richardson. I think that in a way, what you have to do is you have to look at them. And I think we can do that trade with one pick. Okay. Russ and one pick for that. Why that makes sense to me is because all you're doing is converting Russell Westbrook's $47 million expiring contract into two expiring contracts for around, 22 million and a $25 million traded player exception. So they would get a starting shooting guard who can play defense and hit threes. He shot 42% last year. He's always been considered to be a good defender. And they get a center who's the seventh best shot blocker in the NBA. He can't shoot free throws. He's not a stretch center, but he's a dramatic improvement in defense, just as Richardson is. And we get some shooting, and we get a $25 million traded player exception that come trade deadline could be extremely valuable, because you can bring back a guy making up to $25 million, or you can bring back four guys making $6 million. You have a lot of flexibility there. You can combine those. And in teams that are looking to get rid of players to avoid luxury taxes, to lower their salaries, they'll be looking for moves like that, and you'll have an opportunity to take advantage of that. I also do like the idea, and this is a trade that we've talked about before, and I saw just proposed again on Bleacher Report, with the Magic, where you would trade for Jonathan Isaac, Mo Bamba, and Ross, I think, the third guy in that deal.
Terrence Ross.
So you get some shooting.
One I like. I've told you that earlier. I told you that earlier in the summer that would have been great.
I actually like that deal because of the age of the players that we're bringing in. Even though Isaac is a huge injury risk, when healthy, he's Anthony Davis Jr. So, you know, I think there's opportunities. I still find myself, Gerald, thinking that, okay, let's say the Lakers come out at the last minute and they actually pull off a trade where they get Turner and Hield and they give up a pick and a swap. All of a sudden, everybody's going to say, wow, they played that great. They leveraged the whole situation. They were consistent in all of their efforts to confuse people as to what they really wanted. They held out, and at the very last minute, they got the deal they wanted. Now, that's what I'm hoping is going to happen.
I don't mind at all the Orlando trade. The Orlando trade, I think that also brings us some veteran depth, brings us some shooting. Mo Bamba brings us some size. You want size. I don't think there's anybody right now out in the league that's actually with the reach that he has until Victor Wembanyama comes in the league, who I'm actually going to see. I got a ticket to that game on the 4th.
So great.
I'm excited for that. So I'm going to go ahead and check it out firsthand. Wouldn't you know, it's the same day that the Lakers are in town, but you know what? I had to choose. So Lakers going half-hearted in an exhibition game, or actually seeing the number one and number two draft picks for next year. I had to choose. So what are you going to do? So I'm going to tell you right now, I'm excited for that, but it is, and I will actually report it that night after the game. I will be on this channel reporting my thoughts on that, and also the Lakers exhibition games as well, because October 3rd and 4th, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they are doing back-to-back games here in Las Vegas. So definitely want to go ahead and report that to you when they come on in here. Make sure you're part of the Lakers Fast Break channel. I know Joe is actually in the chat. He mentioned that 90 minutes will not be a problem during the season. We will be, it's looking like I'm making the decision here that outside of our post games, because we will be doing shows every post game. It's not just Lakers Nation. Those guys are great. Yeah, they're awesome. Fine, whatever. us. You want to tune into us after the games for both games. We'll be doing them. Not a problem. But it looks like on the outside of that, we will have to do separate shows as well. Those will probably be the 90-minute long ones that I think that a lot of people will be asking for. So, yes. Scouting reports, says Jamie Sweet. Yes, I'm going to see him, because if you didn't get a chance to see the footage from last week on Victor Wembanyama and when he scored two 30-point games, really, really good. I'm just going to say health is just the issue because of his size. You're just always worried about a big man getting injured, as we saw just recently. So,
is he going to play in one of those exhibition games with LeBron?
With LeBron, as far as – no. No, this is Victor? Going to be Victor Wembanyama.
I want to see if he could – do better than Clint did.
No, I just going to tell you right now, Victor Wembanyama, he's going to be here in the States for a two-game series against the G League Ignite here near Las Vegas. Actually, in Henderson, it's a suburb of Las Vegas. That's going to take place on the 4th and the 6th. So I got the ticket for the 4th, so I'm going to go ahead and check that out. But, yes, once again, it's the Lakers fast break. John McKaylee, yes, you know, the shy one on our show, as John referred to himself in the earlier part. And thank you so much for the heads up on Josh Richardson. I have a word on Josh Richardson here in a sec, but 85 minutes of Joe talking and 5 for everyone else. No, you're so bad, John. You're so bad. I will tell you that Josh Richardson, yes, he has, for the San Antonio Spurs, actually shot very well, above 40% from the three-point area. But if you look at
42%.
His career, if you look at his career, Laker Tom, it's not as clear and distinct as that.
36.5.
33s on some years, 40 on others. And his last 2 years, he's only played a total of 61 games or 60-some-odd games. So
He also averaged a steal and half a block a game, which reflects his good defense.
So we give the good and the bad. But again, like your Tom, like you said, there's no one that we're going to be able to trade for Russell Westbrook that is going to have that pristine check all the boxes off record. So
no, but think of the versatility. If you get a guy like Poeltl back and Jeff and Jay Rich, you get two guys who, in my article, I call them an economy or budget version of Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. Now, from a shooting standpoint, you're talking about a guy in Richardson that shoots 5 threes a game rather than 10 a game like Buddy does. So he's not quite the volume shooter that Buddy is, and he doesn't shoot as high a percentage. And in the case of Poeltl, his defense is outstanding. I mean, that's really his strength. He's a great shot blocker. He's the 7th best shot blocker in the league, and he can score underneath. He just can't shoot free throws, man. He's horrible. He's just like, you can't play him at the end of the game, but that's fine because Davis will play at the end of the game for Lakers in the end of the halves. But it's a trade that gets you two expiring contracts to replace Russ's expiring contract and a $25 million traded player exception. The traded player exception is extremely valuable. I mean, extremely valuable. Through the year, the Lakers could use it over and over and over again to add key players that other teams want to get rid of. And it's a great opportunity for them. It gives them an amount of flexibility that they would not have, and it would give them a chance to have a winning experience on the court rather than a Russell Westbrook contaminated experience on the court.
I agree with you. It should be, you know, as far as Russell Westbrook, should not be on the road, not the team. I mean, if he somehow manages to, you know, the Lakers manage to not make a trade, send him home. Because this is just, with so many volatile personalities on the roster as of now that Rob Pelinka, only as he can do, has assembled for this roster. I'm surprised he did not pick up DeMarcus Cousins. If you pick up DeMarcus Cousins, you've got the whole gambit of volatile personalities there. But he's got a few on that roster. And all it takes is one thing to go wrong in training camp, and it could go awry from there.
I just don't want to go and watch a Laker game ever hoping for one of the guys on my team to play bad. And yet, I don't know if I can watch Russell Westbrook in a uniform and not wish for him to play horrible just so that we get rid of him. I mean, I'm serious. It's that bad. And I think that's something that you I don't care how nice you want to make up and how classy you want to be as an organization as you cut ties with this guy. But for God's sakes, cut those ties and cut them permanently and cut them hard.
Well, I tell you what, it's at this point, again, something I think should be done, because going into training camp like this current situation with this kind of roster that doesn't really fit, is, I agree with Tom. That's something both Tom and I, our arguments aside, we both can agree on, that this roster right now is just not conducive to something that's going to be successful for the season at this point. It's just my opinion, and I think Tom somewhat agrees with me on that.
Yeah. No, the roster was actually built and constructed with the idea that you were going to close and make the final touches on it with a Westbrook trade. And they have an opportunity to do that, and it looks like they're going to pass.
It's going to be a very shame if that's the case and there's nothing done and nothing dealt with, because they have a lot of small guards on the roster, a lot of below-average guards.
It's one thing if you can't make a trade because you don't have what the other team wants. But it's another thing when you can make the trade, but you just won't give up what the other team wants. And what they want is a 7 years away first round draft pick. Man. Come on, Genie.
Come on, Genie, indeed. But the chat has been awesome. Jamie Sweet says, Gerald, that ain't happening, my man. Russell be there starting. We'll see. And by the way, Joe, John, Jamie, please keep it cool together. I gotta have you guys on the air when you can, please. Go. So no fighting off the scene. I think only, you know, that John was not saying anything in regards to anything mean about you, Joe. So I think he was only saying that you know, Laker Tom, Joe, myself, Jamie, we can all talk a lot, I think, from time to time, especially on the Lakers. So we're very passionate about the subjects that we like to talk about here. I do appreciate the comments. Blue Magic, you know, I think when it comes to Lakers Nation, they do a lot of great stuff there. I think there was also a suggestion, though, that they, you know, that one of the individuals there or in their chat or whatever, I heard mentioning the wave and stretch option for Russell Westbrook. If that's the case, you know, that's not obviously a good idea that I would recommend. But, you know, Lakers Nation, obviously, when you have almost 500,000 subscribers on YouTube, they can't be doing a lot of stuff that wrong. But I know that, again, that they play to a larger audience. Hopefully we can get to that larger audience one day, and I'm hoping for that as well. But that's all up to you. You got to start subscribing below Laker Tom today on YouTube. If you can help us get to that level and hopefully have more inspired and maybe more intelligent conversations on the Los Angeles Lakers play out to a larger audience. That's what our hopes and our dreams are here at the Lakers Fast Break, and we think we can get it done. But it's all because of you guys keeping those great words to us. Again, big shout out to the Facebook viewers with the kind comments on our last video. Also as well to the individuals that have been chatting about our show that think we do a pretty good job and a great job indeed. So just big shout out to everyone here. But you guys in the chat room have been outstanding again. John, Jamie, Joe, and you know what? This goes out to everybody else. If anybody else out there wants to come on the show, I only ask if you want to go ahead and hit me up at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter or LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. I only ask two things: good internet connection and a good mic. You know, that's all I ask, because Restream will not help you with both. That's all I'll say. That's all I'll
say. He also wants your Venmo account number.
No, that's Tom. That's Tom right there for you. Tom, you know, he can have your Venmo number. All I'm looking for is some great opinions and always some fresh faces on here, because Joe's been outstanding. Laker Tom has been outstanding. Jamie, John, been great. I'm hoping to get Kenneth Sweet back. I miss L Rob. I miss TJ on the show. I'm hoping they'll be back for the season. I know the season is coming right around the corner. I do definitely, Benny guesses he needs a business course from Joe. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. And anyone who comes to the show will get a rookie rolling. If you stumble and bumble, we will ignite you on front of everyone. Joe, be nice. Be nice. Don't scare people away. Don't scare people away. Please. Got to go ahead and get that audience that we're trying to go ahead and get to those levels, because, again, we've got a good thing going, and we hope you do like us too. So please, if you got any suggestions for us, you want to go ahead and be part of the show, want to come on from time to time, hear your thoughts, LakersFastBreak at yahoo.com. But Laker Tom, before we head on out, please go ahead and enlighten us on what your latest article is at LakerHolics.com.
Well, my latest article is about what I consider to be the Lakers off-ramp from Russell Westbrook. And that off-ramp is the San Antonio Spurs. Again, I think trading for expiring contracts, Jacob Poeltl, an expiring contract on Josh Richardson, and a $25.4 million traded player exception that the Lakers can use for a full year. They can use that before the trade deadline. They can use that the third day of the training, the third day of the regular season, or they can use it next summer when they'll have at least probably two draft picks. There's a versatility there. What's nice about that situation is what they do with that $25 million traded player exception can determine whether they are A, number one, whether they have an option with them to make sure that they have nothing but expiring contracts and they'll have $35 million in cap space to go after Kyrie. That's the first thing it gives them. While it gives them that, it also gives them two players plus other people that they can add on expiring contracts who can help them win this year, which Russell Westbrook won't. And that's really the critical part of the thing, that you do not want to sacrifice this season when you don't have to, if you can be a smart front office general manager.
And you could go ahead and catch that article today at LakerHolics.com. I'm telling you, I think that's okay. You know, if you don't give up too much, you know, outside of Russell Westbrook for San Antonio, I like the Orlando trade better. Personally, I think that's a better fit for the Lakers. I also think that the Lakers would be more competitive because of that.
Well, and I like the upside. The upside of the Orlando trade is great. The floor of the Orlando trade is pretty low just because of how many times Isaac's been injured, you know, and it's always on that same side of the body, you know.
Always there. Yep.
I mean, that just seems to happen with everybody. I mean, my wife has the same problem on the right side of her body. I have this on the left side of her body. I got the problem on the right side of my body. I just broke my right arm, my right hand the other day. And
contrary to rumors, it was not.
And I did not punch out Joe Soros.
Yeah, because he happened to be there in
the Joe and I get along fine.
Okay.
As long as we don't talk certain subjects.
Yes, definitely just try to stay away from that. I'm trying to keep the peace between these guys, but it is a great crew. And I want to thank again Laker Tom, Joe Soro, Jamie Sweet, John McCallion, Kenneth Sweet, TJ Johnson, L. Rob. All of you guys have been so outstanding over the course of this year, taking some time out of your day to be a part of this show and trying to make it even more successful than it has been, which is truly appreciated. And most of all, a big thank you to you, the audience out there listening and watching, for taking the time out of your day to go ahead and checking out LakerHolics.com, LakersBall.com, and of course, all of us here at the Lakers Fast Break. But you guys have been incredible. I don't think we can stretch it out to an hour and a half, so I do apologize for that. But
well, on the trade show will do that.
Okay, the trade show is still coming. So, okay, I tried to look up anything in regards to Russ being at the LeBron minicamp. It doesn't say. I would assume that he is, since he's been there for all the press conferences and things like that. I'd say he's
what
there.
What if Russ is not there? What would you take that to mean?
Well, they canceled the press conference the other day, and that didn't end up being amounting to much.
Well, I wonder why they canceled the press conference. Maybe they had a deal, and then it fell apart.
Maybe
you were going to announce a deal and then they chickened out.
Woj and Shams would have, I guess they would have been on that. They would have.
I don't know, but listen, there have been this is not like when Magic was running things, man. And when Magic was running things, it was like, geez, you must have had five or six people on the inside feeding different people who became little substars for just that little period that Magic was in control. You had guys that were insiders that were never insiders before or after. But now it's pretty tight, you know. We don't hear about things until the last minute, most of the time. Now, I try to increase the percentages by proposing lots of trades because then you got a higher chance of hitting one right, you know. But it's almost impossible when you consider all of the variances that they can put in a particular trade and all of the different principles that can be involved and purposes that they've had. It's almost impossible to predict what's going to happen.
Just promise me no more imaginary conversations with Rob Pelinka.
I can't do that because there's various times that it just comes to me, you know. It just comes to me, and I feel like I could have been the fly on a wall, man. In another universe, I probably was. But that's an interesting concept. You know, I've used that before through the years. I've had Jerry Buss. I've talked with Dr. Buss like that. I've interviewed Jeannie before. I interviewed Mitch Kupchak that way. That was a brutal interview. This was after the two big deals that he really screwed up where we had to write him off.
Once again, go ahead and check out his conversations, imaginary or otherwise, with Rob Pelinka, or all the great articles that he's doing today at Lakerholics.com. Also want to mention as well, again, if you can, please give all of our good friends at LakersBall.com a big shout out. Jamie Sweet's Five Things articles at LakerHolics.com. John McCalion's channel on YouTube. Please go ahead and subscribe. While you're subscribing to Lakers Fast Break, please go ahead and subscribe to John McCalion's great channel as well. A lot of self-help there, great inspiring and encouraging thoughts, plus some great conversations always to be had there at John McCalion's YouTube channel as well. Blue Magic says the media around the Lakers is clamped tight. Yeah, that's for sure. And Dora has been saying all the right company man things, which leads me to not trust him. I know we've already had calls to fire him.
He's our visionary. Trust him.
We've already had calls by our audience to fire him. Give the guy a chance.
If he can just get Jeannie and Rob and Magic and Phil and everybody else off his back.
Well, I will tell you this, that again, please give Darvin Ham at least a chance to coach the team early on, and we'll see what happens from there. We'll see how competitive the team is. We'll see what kind of roster we bring out. Laker Tom is still expecting the magical trade to come through here in the next few days. It better come soon. That's all I say.
Well, I think it'll come before starting the start of the season. So that gives us to what? What's the first day? What's the first game?
Well, first game, I think, is exhibition game is the 3rd.
Are you talking about the real game?
Was it the 17th? Off the top of my head, I'll have to check when the
17th?
When they play the Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
Because they remember, so they're ring night.
You've probably got a ring night. Probably got 3 weeks.
So it is, let me see, preseason. 18th. It is the 18th.
18th? Okay. So, well, you got 18 days, and what is this? This is the 22nd. You got 9 more days this month. You got 27 days. You got to remember, training camp was always a soft deadline.
Okay.
Now, a little harder deadline is start of the season.
What is the Laker Tom deadline? I want to know that.
The real deadline is February 9th. That's the trade deadline at noon Pacific time. Okay. If Russell Westbrook is not gone by then, we are screwed. We will have nobody under contract except for LeBron and AD. And I think the new guy, Christie, has 1 year under this something.
That's Max Christie, yeah.
We won't have it. We would not be able to make a trade. We could have 3 draft picks then, too, if we didn't trade Russ, assuming that we don't get swapped with Oklahoma City.
It is official. I just want to mention to everyone out there listening that the Celtics did announce that Udoka is suspended for the entire season. So as you're hoping, and as Celtics fans out there, unfortunately, are crying right now, the Lakers fans are enjoying it and embracing all this.
Tough luck. Yeah. Tough luck, man.
Absolutely.
Peace.
So, and I think it is saying the 18th. I'm going to verify that for sure right now as far as what their next date is, but I think it is.
Well, let me, you know, what's interesting, what you have there is probably equivalent of almost 4 weeks. And we're going to start to see these guys. We're going to have 4 weeks where we're going to see.
It is the 18th, just to let everyone know.
It is Tuesday. Basically, we've got 4 weeks before the season starts. And how eager the Lakers will be to trade Russell Westbrook will directly depend upon how Russell Westbrook does during those 4 weeks. I mean, he's going to have to show something during those 4 weeks or else.
It can't be ugly.
It can't be ugly. That's for sure. Because if it's ugly, he's gone.
Well, it better
if it's
not
ugly,
get
he's
up.
Gone.
But you got to admit, it can get very ugly very quickly with the individuals there, with the past reputations of a lot of the individuals there, it can get very.
I'm sure a fist fight with Beverly would probably.
And Schroeder's not.
You know, just the possibility of that happening is something that somebody in charge has to think about. You know, you could screw up Darvin Ham's first season as a coach, LeBron's second to last season as a Laker, AD's second to last season as a Laker, a chance to beat the Celtics to number 18, and all of those things could go to naught just because somebody thought that it was a good idea to, why don't we target Kyrie next year rather than give up one of these draft picks, man? I would rather, frankly, to be honest with you, Gerald, sincerely honest, I would take Buddy and Miles Turner over Kyrie any day of the week, simply because you can't put Kyrie in there and not take away a lot from either LeBron or AD. You're going to.
No, I would have taken that trade because, remember, it brought a lot of shooting with us. You would have to bring
– I know,
just
I know,
the concept
I know.
That you would have to bring Joe Harris and –
Yeah, when you add Joe Harris in, I think that swings it over. And
Seth Curry.
The unknown, the thing that Kyrie – the big problem with the Lakers is that Russ was a perfect fit for position. Unfortunately, his skills at that position were not what we needed. And Kyrie has those same skills at that position where you really could use them. Except for defense. That's the other part of the side of it. It doesn't make sense. See, I do think that Miles Turner makes that big a difference. You know, it's kind of funny because I probably, over the last 10 years, I've probably written 20 articles about trying to get Miles Turner on the Lakers. This might be my last chance. Either it'll see, Jamie doesn't realize now that it's stretched all the way to February 9th. The trade will happen before February 9th. And I will continue to root for that and celebrate that.
It just keeps getting, you know, Laker Tom's guarantee just keeps getting more things thrown in. Oh, by the way, did I tell you I extended it? Oh, by the way, did I tell you I extended it? Oh, by the way, did I tell you I extended it?
Well, that's the prerogative I have as a fan, man. What can you say?
That's how John, it goes. You know, if you want to argue Laker Tom on that point as regards to Kyrie trade being not as good as the Buddy Hield trade, you know, that's please come on the show to do it, my friend, next time around. But I agree with you. I think if you gave me the choice and I had to give the picks up for either, I'd do the Kyrie trade because you're going to get either a Seth Curry and or a Joe Harris along with it. And to me, that is just better than what Indiana would be giving.
Well, you know, I don't know. I heard Kyrie come out the other day with just this whole crazy thing about how vaccination was like the most crushing of human spirit and freedom that has ever happened in the world. And he goes on with these wild, crazy stuff. You know, who knows? I think he's a wild card. He's a wild card. And I don't know if you could trust him over a long period of time. I seriously don't. I mean, and he's not a defender. He can't play defense. So, you know, you're taking stuff away from LeBron and AD. Maybe if the plan was to take away from LeBron because he's getting 38, you know, I guess that could make sense. I sure wouldn't take anything away from AD. He's got to prove that he can carry LeBron's load or else we got to get rid of him.
I'll just say this. Tom would give you here. John saying Tom won't let me get a word in if he did have the debate. I would guarantee you, John, that you would go ahead and do that. In fact, I will give the Laker Tom guarantee that by February 9th, you would be able to go ahead and get word. Just extend it out. But yes, no, if you come back on the show, my friend,
at you'll noon on February 9th, I will give up.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what.
If it's not traded by then,
John, you're always welcome back. And just
we'll probably be at our live trade deadline. Super show, Gerald.
Okay. Well, you can always say, John, as much as you want, of course, on the show. You're always able to go ahead and just be on the air. We truly appreciate it. Once again, thank you so much to Jamie Sweet, John McCallion. Please check out his YouTube channel today. Please go ahead and subscribe. Also as well, Blue Magic has been great. Thank you so much to Nick Wong, who's part of the show earlier as far as in the chat. Truly appreciate everyone being on the show today. Thank you so much. Of course, Ox1947. Hope everything goes well for you, my friend. I know you're on the road, so please drive safe. Same to you, Jamie Sweet. Hope everything goes well for you tonight with your show. Also as well, want to thank so much for everybody out there saying the great things about our show. We truly appreciate it. Petting My Cat, always awesome as well. Thank you so much. Want to go ahead and give a shout out to Wes Trueblood. Everybody that's been a part of the chat, just amazing as always. We will definitely be back on Sunday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, unless Laker Tom's aforementioned trade show will get us on earlier, but we're definitely going to be on Sunday for sure. So go ahead and check us out then. Hopefully I can get all the guys to come on the show at the same time so you guys can all talk as much as you want. And we'll go over the 90 minutes so we can make the listeners happy, because we've got requests now for you guys to go an hour and a half plus. So that's what I want to hear. That's what I want to see. So I tell you what, our audience has been incredible as always. We truly appreciate it. Once again, if you have any questions for me or you want to be part of the show from time to time, come on and say your thoughts. All I ask is, again, good mic, good internet, and try to keep it someone clean, although Laker Tom from time to time has, you know, tried to accidentally. Joe accidentally from time to time. Well, and then Jamie accidentally. Yeah, we, again, try to be as clean as you can. That's all I ask. So if you want to and you're interested or you know somebody who might be, at Lakers Fast Break or LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. Well, once again, and no porn. Joe. And no porn indeed. Yes, that's true. That's true. But I will say it's been a great episode. Truly appreciate everyone stopping by. Once again, we will be back on Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We're going to be gearing up for Lakers training camp. We'll see if anything comes out of LeBron mini camp. Hopefully Russ is there. Hopefully Russ is practicing.
Russ will be there.
Or if that's the case, if Russ is not there, hopefully he's been traded.
What does that mean if Russ is not there?
Oh, my gosh. The same thing that it meant, like, most probably when the Lakers canceled their press conference. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Let's hope LeBron doesn't cancel minicamp.
Ugh. They're doing it right now, man. It started today.
I haven't heard anything on Twitter about it.
The only thing we've heard is about LeBron's supposed shaved head. So we'll leave it at that. Leave it at that, Deep. But But once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. Please go ahead and check out Laker Tom's latest articles today. As the number one Lakers blogger, you can do that today at LakerHolics.com. Big shout out to Jamie Sweet for his five things. Shout out to Joe Sorrow, a.k.a. Ox1947, John McCalion for his YouTube channel, Hoop Heads Podcast Network, everybody involved with the Lakers Fast Break. We truly want to thank you so much for listening and watching. All right, Blue Magic says, Joe, you're certainly not getting invited to the Lakers media room. Oh my gosh, the chat always goes wild here at the Lakers Fast Break. But for Laker Tom, this is Gerald Glassford. Thank you so much for watching and listening. We've got a great conversation up ahead, at least on Sunday. Will there be one sooner because of a trade? You never know. Laker Tom says yes. Will it happen? We'll find out as we get back to you right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.